All right, good morning. It's good to be here today. And it's another beautiful winter day, even though I am rather ready for summer. Let's dive right on into the deep end. What lies do you find yourself believing about yourself? What is prone to keep coming back again and again that is a lie? Just be thinking about that a little bit, and we will come back to that later on. So today I am diving into my series on the armor of God, and the first one being the belt of truth. This is found in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 is the main part of it. Mainly it's 14 through 18, but starting in 10 is where it becomes foundational. I'm going to read the passage, and then I'm actually going to review a little bit of my last message, as it is, again, foundational to why we need the armor. So starting in verse 10 of Ephesians 6, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication." So that's the passage that I am going to be basing this all off of. And so, for a bit of a review of last time, so I went through verses 10 through 13 last time, and it's a challenge to stand firm in our relationship with God, in the strength of the Lord, and to stand firm against the enemy, the devil. So just a couple things to point out from that one is, in the first part of verse 10, it says to finally be strong in the Lord. So we looked at what that means, what we are, or how we're able to be strong in the Lord. And I read out of, I think it's 2 Corinthians 12, about the story of Paul and the thorn that he got in his side. Now, this thorn is not an actual thorn, but rather a struggle that he faced that he could not get past. I don't know exactly what it was, it doesn't say. But it was a struggle that he could not be free from. And he prayed three times that God would take this from him, but God said, "No, you can, my grace is sufficient for you." And through that, he realized that if he wouldn't have any struggles, he would then not need to rely on the strength of God. He would be sufficient on his own. And so it's through the weaknesses, it's through the struggles of life that we realize that I can't do this on my own. I am not enough on my own, and it is God that I need to be strong. And so it's that realization of be strong in the Lord, and there is strength in his might. We then looked at some of the tactics of the devil. So it says here in Ephesians 6, verse 11, that we need to be standing against the schemes of the devil. So we looked at a couple different things. It was not exhaustive by any means, but we looked at a couple things of what some of these scheming things of the devil may be. We looked at temptations that we are faced with. So there's, I think I pulled out that there's lying and there's stealing and there's sexuality sins. Just some of the different struggles and temptations that we are faced with that our fleshly desires want to win. And the devil comes and plays on those to take them out of a godly design, maybe, and twist them to then become sinful. We looked at lies that he whispers to us about ourselves, or maybe about other people. Just things to cause self-doubts or feelings of that we're just not enough. And then we also looked at a focus on ourselves. So maybe we brought out that striving for money and becoming wealthy becomes our idol in a way. And once you start going down that track, it's never quite enough. We need just a little bit more, and it becomes such a focus that we lose sight of focus on God and can ultimately be a downfall. And then we also did that illustration of standing with brothers and sisters around us and confessing to each other struggles that we're facing, sins that we've committed, and just bringing light into darkness. And then with that, we're able to stand together, and when the devil comes and tries to get you to fall, to get you to stumble, we're able to stand stronger because there are people surrounding us. So that's a bit of a review over what we went over last time to kind of build on as why we need the armor of God in order to stand against the devil here. So verse 14 of Ephesians 6 is where we will be getting the belt of truth. So it says, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. It doesn't say fastening on or fasten on. It says having fastened on the belt. So this needs to happen before we have any chance of standing against. We need this belt of truth. So let's look at what this belt is. What is it referring to? Can be a couple different ways of looking at it. But the belt is a surrounding security of what we believe. It is what it is called. It is truth. It is the belt of truth. And when we believe in truth, we can then rely on that for everything else. So the belt is what we believe on who God is. The belt is also who we believe on who and what the devil is and what he's doing. And then truth is also not just a concept. It is also a person. In John 14:6, it says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus himself says that he is the truth. We need to be rooted and surrounded with Jesus. Then we need to look at, now that we know what the belt is about, we need to look at why we need to wear the belt. And we went over it in the last time, and also just reading through the scripture here, that we are in a battle of light and darkness. God's side, the devil's side. And we need this piece of the armor. We need all the armor. But this piece is, or that battle is why we need to have this belt of truth around us. We get to choose which side we're on. And there's either you choose for it or you choose against it. There's no other sides. And not choosing puts you on the darkness side. If you choose not to follow God, you are automatically placed on the side of darkness, which is exactly where the devil wants you to be. He wants you to not further the kingdom of God. He wants you to be exactly where you have been without following Christ. How we choose to do life is what puts us on our sides. This first piece, the belt of truth, it is foundational for the rest of the armor. Without this belt of truth, none of the others work properly. How can we believe? Well, I don't have my list in order here. Anyways, how can we believe in the salvation of God if we don't believe in the truth of who God is? How can we live out our lives in truth and righteousness? The breastplate of righteousness tucks into this belt of truth, and it is through the knowledge of who God is that that works. The shield of faith. If we don't believe in who God is and what he says about us, how will the shield be able to protect us from anything? How can we be ready to face anyone? The shoes of readiness. If we don't know what's in the Bible, if we don't know what God says, if we don't study it and believe on what is truth, how can we be ready to face anyone, to witness to anyone? And then the one that doesn't even exist, we don't even have, is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So if we are not in the Word of God and understanding the truths behind it, we don't even have the sword of the Spirit, which is our offense in this battle. So let's look at what some of these truths can be and what they are in our lives. What are we supposed to be surrounding ourselves with? Well, first, we do need to know who God is. We need to know what his will is or his purpose for us. This does not mean that we need to know his every plan for our lives, because that is something that he knows that we only get to see a dim piece of, we get revealed to over the times. But we can know what his will is for our lives. We need to know what the devil is. That needs to be a truth that we tuck into our belts. We need to know who the enemy is, what his purpose is, what his tactics can be. We can't just settle for our own truths of what I feel is right, what I think this means. We need something that has been true, that has stood through the generations, and that is the Word of God. So let's first look at who the devil is. Let's see some of the things that are true about who he is and what he's trying to accomplish. I do want to read out of Isaiah 14, 13 and 14, and this just talks about his fall, the devil's fall. Should have marked this so I'd get there sooner. Isaiah 14, actually starting in verse 12, says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn. How you are cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." And then it goes on from there to talk on how he fell. But what I want to focus on is all these I statements. I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. We need to be aware that when things become focused on I, me, when I do this, when I do this, it can be our downfall as well. And we need to be aware that we need to be focused on furthering God's kingdom instead of my kingdom. So going on, let's see who this devil is. So he is an accuser. Revelations 12:10 says, "And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God." He is constantly accusing, casting blame. He is a tempter, Matthew 4:3, "And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." He is tempting. He is always tempting us. He is a deceiver. Revelations 12:9, "And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him." So he is a deceiver, constantly deceiving and having people believe in deceit. He is an opposer or an adversary. 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." He is a liar. John 8:44, "You are the father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." He is ultimately a destroyer. They have as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek he is called Apollyon. That's Revelation 9:11, and both those names mean the destroyer. So these are things that the devil is. And when we are facing accusations, when we are facing temptations, when we are facing deceit and adversaries, we need to be aware, maybe this is coming from the devil, and be ready to combat that. Now, let's look at who God is. Let's find some truths on who God is. He is my light. 1 John 1-5, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." No sin in him at all. He is my salvation. John 14:6, "Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." He is my strength. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." He is my provider. Philippians 4:19, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." He is for me. He is not against me. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." He is love. 1 John 4:8, "Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." He is merciful. Psalm 145:9, "The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made." He is faithful. Exodus 34:6, "The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness." He is consistent. Hebrews 13:8, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." is sovereign. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. He is forgiving. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is eternal. Revelations 22:13, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. This is the God that we serve. This is the God that we believe in. And this is what the Bible says about him. The devil is constantly whispering. He is surrounding with his militia of people, whatever you want to call it, demons, whatever. And they're constantly whispering. So my illustration for today came to me on the way to church. So I have no idea how this is going to work. But I want everybody to whisper. I'm going to give you the things to whisper. And, well, it needs to be a little bit loud enough, so don't whisper to each other, but act like you're whispering towards me. So, the devil, he wants you to believe in lies. That's what he's always trying to get you to do, is to believe in untruth, because he is a liar. He does not believe in truth. So, here are some things that I want you to whisper that come from the devil. So just whisper these towards me. Say, you are not enough. Say, you should be further along. And I am not, I am alone. Okay. Here are things that are of God. Things that he would whisper through the Holy Spirit. You are loved. You are worthy. God is with you. You are forgiven. So you all whispered it, but you also heard the voices around you. What we tell ourselves, what we are believing about ourselves, the devil starts to whisper the same things, and it sounds like confirmation. The same goes for that, what is happening with God. What we believe on ourselves that God says is true, the Holy Spirit reaffirms and whispers that as confirmation. So what does this truth, the things that the Bible says, that God says about us, the Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Genesis 1:27 and Psalms 139. It says our circumstances are in God's hands. Psalms 31:14 and 15. We don't need to be anxious. Philippians 4:6 through 7. It says we are forgiven. 1 John 1:9 and Ephesians 1:7. It says we are loved. John 3:16 and Romans 5:8. We are never alone, Joshua 1:9. We can be filled with peace, John 14:27. We are heard by God, Psalms 55:17. We lack nothing, Philippians 4:19. We are strong, Philippians 4:13. We don't have to wander aimlessly about, Isaiah 30:21. We can live in abundance, John 10:10. I am chosen, 1 Peter 2:9. And one of the more important truths that we need to tuck in and remember is what God will say to us when we stand before that throne. Will it be Matthew 7:22 through 23? Depart from me, for I never knew you. Or will it be Matthew 25:23? Well done, my good and faithful servant. those two things will be said. And how we live our life, how we choose to live our life and build that relationship with Christ will determine that. So we need to know who the enemy is. We need to know who God is. We need to know and believe in these truths. Tuck them in. Get this belt and wrap it around you. And always remember what the truths are. What can I always fall back on? What can I believe in whenever I'm facing anything? Rejoice in the things of God and combat the things of the devil. In Ephesians 5, it says that we are to be imitators of God. And again, we need to know who God is. We need to study his word to be able to imitate him. It's important to be studying the word of God to understand the truths. And it's not something that I can just stand up here and tell you what these truths are. I revealed some. But you got to dig into it yourself. You got to find out and believe it for yourself and understand it on your own. This battle of light and darkness is different than most battles that we would initially imagine. Our battleground of light and darkness is surrounded by darkness. So typically you would see you have your one side here and your other side here, and you come together and you have your clash. But this battleground, we choose to follow Christ, and in that we become a light that is surrounded by darkness. And it's with this armor of God that, by the way, he freely gives. It is not something you have to strive to achieve. It is handed out to you very freely. Anyone can use it. But God gives us this armor to combat in the midst of darkness. In 1 John 5:19, it says that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And so that just tells us that everywhere around us, the devil has a bit of dominion, of power. And in Matthew 4:8, it says that the devil offers Jesus, this when he was tempting him out in the wilderness, that he offered to give him all of the kingdoms. And it was a real offer. He had the ability. All he had to do was worship the devil. But ultimately, God has already won. He has already defeated the devil. The devil knows this, and so his goal is to get as many people as he can to go with him to his defeat. So that being said, in our battleground, we don't get to go hide behind the safety lines of the light, of the side of light. Instead, we rely on the strength of God and who he is to provide our needs, to provide our safety, and to help us combat against the devil right in his midst. So we need to be aware. We always need to be actively watching. There is a quote that I heard leading into this that really stood out to me. And it says, sometimes when we feel like the devil is so actively trying to get us down, maybe it's because we are doing exactly what we are supposed to be doing, and he wants you to fail. So don't quit. That was me leading into this message. I felt like I just could not get things to make sense. I didn't feel like I'd be able to give this justice. And I didn't want to do this. And I had to do exactly what I preached and believe in the truth of who God says that I am. And in so doing, trust in his strength to provide and hopefully encourage all of you. So what truths are you fastening around you? What are you basing them off of? Are they truths that you are basing your beliefs off of? Or maybe it's off of emotions, maybe it's fears, past failures that may be influencing your truths. I saw this verse up here again, and I like that verse a lot. Forget about the things of the past and look to the future. So are we basing it off of emotions, fears, or past failures, or are we basing them off of the truth of who God is and what He wants for your life? The question becomes not whether you're fighting hard enough, but rather what truth are you surrounding yourself with? Let's pray. Father God, we come to you here this morning. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for the word that you have given to us, and that all we need to do is dive into it, and you freely give it. Thank you for this armor that you have given to help us combat these tactics of the devil to try and get us to fall away from following you and serving you and furthering your kingdom. And God, I just pray that we would be able to take this and apply it to our lives and live it out and serve you through it. Let's pray this in your name. Amen.